Hello, 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 my friends. A thousand welcomes to your very own Yotto Daily with me, Jake, here each and every single day of the year, including, of course, today, March the 21st, which happens to be World Poetry Day. So, from here on in, I think it's time that I try to speak entirely in rhyme. Whatever you all think of poetry, whether you groan or smile in glee, it's what makes us humans unique. You've never heard a monkey speak with words that float and dance and dive, with words that make pictures come alive. Now, poems don't actually have to rhyme. The words don't always have to match up. But you have to say it's quite nice when they do, like the white of a cloud against a sky of blue. And have you ever heard of a limerick? It's a super way to make poetry stick. Edward Lear was the master of these, so I'll read one now if you please. There was an old man with a beard who said, "It is just as I feared. Two owls and a hen, four larks and a wren have all built their nests in my beard." Edward Lear wrote loads and loads, and here is how another one goes. There was a young lady whose bonnet came untied when the birds sat upon it. But she said, "I don't care, all the birds in the air are welcome to sit on my bonnet." Ha ha, okay, I'm slipping out of rhyme now because, actually, as I mentioned earlier, poems don't have to rhyme. Poetry is not only a fun way of playing around with words, it's a way of us expressing ourselves, of expressing how we feel, of describing the world around us, of connecting with each other. It really is a wonderful way to communicate. Anyway, I'm going to stop waffling now and I'm going to pass over to someone else who knows a lot more about poetry than I do, because my friend Pema is here. And she's going to read us a poem and talk to us a little bit about it. So here we go then, on World Poetry Day, from Jake over to Pema.
Hi, my name's Pema and I am a poet and a writer, and I also work here on the Yotto Daily podcast. As Jake said, today is World Poetry Day, which is a day to celebrate poetry and poets and the role that poetry plays in our lives. And I thought we could celebrate by reading a poem together. A very famous poem by a poet named Emily Dickinson. So, who is our poet? We know her name, Emily Dickinson, but who was she? She was born in 1830, and she was born in a place called Amherst, which is in Massachusetts in the USA. Emily had two siblings. She had Lavinia, her sister, and Austin, her brother, and they were all really close. They were all very good friends for their whole lives. So, Emily is very famous. She's one of the most famous poets in the English language. Today on World Poetry Day, I'm going to read you one of my favourite poems by Emily Dickinson. I'll read it to you and then we can go back and look at the words more closely to try and discover what it means to us, what the poem means to us. Because poetry is personal, so this poem means something to me, it might mean something slightly different to you, and that's great. Before we begin, though, I want to teach you words that can be helpful when you're trying to read a poem deeply. These are called poetry devices or literary devices. They're something you learn in school and they are tools to help you interpret poetry. The first one is metaphor. A metaphor compares one thing to another thing, and that often helps us to attach a feeling or emotion to something using images. For example, I could say that my hair feels like silk today. And in this case, silk, which is a famously soft and beautiful fabric, helps us to understand that I consider my hair to also feel wonderfully soft and nice. So that is a metaphor. The image that is conjured when we think of silk, that helps you understand how I feel about my hair. Another final technique or device that we'll be thinking about when we read this poem is voice, okay? The voice is the speaker of the poem. The speaker might be the poet themselves, or it might be a character that they've invented for the poem. Sometimes it's really obvious who the speaker is, but sometimes it might be a bit more difficult to pin down. And the poem we're about to hear changes the way it uses voice at some point during the poem, and I want you to see if you can spot it as we listen, but we'll talk about it more together. Okay, now we have those literary devices in our toolbox. It's time to hear the poem, and I hope you like it, and I hope that I do the reading justice because it's a beautiful poem, and I hope you can hear that when I read it to you. By Emily Dickinson. Hope is the thing with feathers. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings a tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me. Wow, okay, what did we think of that? So some of those words might seem a little bit old-fashioned to our ear, but that's okay because when Emily Dickinson is writing a poem, she's trying to express an idea or a feeling, and we can understand her human feeling even if some of the words she uses are different to those we might use. But what is the poem about? Because sometimes when you hear a poem for the first time or read a poem for the first time, it can feel like a bit of an onrush of ideas and images and feelings, and it's hard to sort of break those apart and work out what we really feel when we hear that poem. And there are many ways to understand a poem, but let's start with the subject of the poem. What subject is the poem addressing? Well, I think it's in the title, the first line, hope. It's a poem about hope, right? Hope is the thing with feathers. And immediately here we have a metaphor. Now, if you remember when we talked about literary devices, metaphor is the technique where a poem compares one thing to another thing. So Emily here, she's comparing hope to the thing with feathers. And what usually has feathers? A bird? Birds? And what do feathers allow birds to do? Fly. Yes, I'd love to be able to fly because it feels like it would be so joyful and a feeling of freedom and exploration. That is what flight means to me. I don't know about you. And then, okay, there we go. We understand the first line because we've now made a connection between the words on the page and our own feelings. Hope is the thing with feathers. Hope is like a little bird that can fly. Hope is freedom and joy and exploration. So, Emily is using metaphor here to show us that hope is something that can take flight like a bird. And now we have this bit in the poem. Hope perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. So, hope, the little bird, is perching, sitting in our minds and our hearts, because that's what Emily means by soul. And the little bird never stops singing. Isn't that a beautiful idea to have a little bird in your chest or in your body that never stops singing, no matter how you feel? You could be having a day where you feel sad, or something bad has happened, or you could be feeling happy, or you could be feeling excited, disappointed, or bored, but hope remains there in your soul singing, no matter what. That's a beautiful thought. Hope sings the tune without the words. What does that mean? I think it means that hope doesn't need to know the rules or what comes next in order to keep singing. It doesn't need to know the words to something. It just sings. No matter what, hope is in your chest singing. It doesn't need to know the rules. So this is a really comforting thought because there have been times in my life where I haven't known what should come next or what the words are. But Emily Dickinson's poem suggests that the thing that we have to keep us going is hope. It doesn't need these rules or these steps. It just remains with us at all times. And now the last thing I think I want to talk about with this poem is voice. We spoke about voice earlier. It is the speaker or the character that speaks in the poem. And I did mention that there's a point in this poem where voice changes, okay? So you might have noticed, or you may not have, but that's okay. At 2/3 through the poem, At the beginning of the final stanza, which is the third stanza, we begin to hear a voice that says I or me. And up till that point, we've only had a sort of distant voice where we hear the poem say, hope is the thing with feathers. It describes things in a way that is very certain, and it's what's called a declarative statement. It is saying that something is true and that there's no real disagreement in the poem. This is the case. It is the thing with feathers. But later on in the poem, we have Emily's speaker saying, I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me. So we hear from the speaker, we hear from the voice, and they are giving their experience of hope, the hope that lives in their chest. And what do we have here? We have chillest land and strangest sea. Emily famously was a poet who didn't often leave her home. She spent most of her life in the Dickinson homestead in Amherst, Massachusetts. She didn't often leave. So what is this chillest land or this strangest sea that she might have seen? Chillest land, that sounds cold, that sounds frightening almost, and strangest sea sounds uncomfortable or scary. Sometimes we don't need to travel across the world to find places that feel unusual to us or uncomfortable. Sometimes we have those right at home, and Emily's talking about that feeling that you get when you are at home and you feel just a bit funny or off, or like you need some support or some help in some way. She's saying that she's felt those feelings, but the one thing that's always been there for her, no matter what, is hope. And, she says, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me. She's saying that hope's never asked for anything from her. It's just always been there for her, no matter what. She kind of teaches us something about poetry itself, I think, which is that poetry can help us in our own lives and what it can mean to us in our own lives. For example, this poem makes me, Pema, feel comforted and like Emily Dickinson has seen inside my own life. And I think that's one of the things poetry can do for you. Having a feeling recognized by somebody else, the poet or somebody else who loves the poem you love. It's, oh, you know, we have this in common. We're all people, we're all humans, and we have these feelings in common. Poetry can remind you that you're really not alone, and it does it in a way that's beautiful, that uses beautiful ideas and imagery often to help us feel that connection to each other. Emily's soul, her hope singing in her soul, singing back to me, and my hope in my soul, they're both talking to each other in this poem. And I hope that you also felt like this poem spoke to you in some way. And if not, that's okay. There are an uncountable amount of poems out there. Remember, Emily wrote 1800 just herself, so there are many poets in the world, and there will be a poem out there that sings to your heart. Thanks so much for listening to this poem with me, and thank you to Emily Dickinson for writing this beautiful poem. Happy World Poetry Day. Bye, guys.
Oh, there we go. Fabulous, fantastic, wonderful, wonderful stuff. Love it, love it, love it. Excellent, folks. Thank you very much for listening to Yoto Daily today on March the 21st, 2024. And if that happens to be your birthday, oh, wowzers, I hope you have such a fabulous day today. I really, 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 really do. I hope your birthday is extra super fantastic. A massive, huge, heartfelt happy birthday to you celebrating today. Yes, you. Have a great day. Happy birthday. Other people with a birthday today? Well, there's TV actor Jace Norman. He was the star of Henry Danger. It's his birthday today. Also, Brazilian football / soccer legend Ronaldinho. He has a birthday today as well. Matthew Broderick, movie actor Matthew Broderick, also has a birthday today. And born on this day in 1960 was race car driver, again from Brazil, Ayrton Senna. He was born on this day in 1962. Also, on this day in 1990, a little bit of maths, that is 34 years ago, Namibia, a country in southern Africa, Namibia became independent. Yes, after 100 years of German and South African rule, Namibia became independent, became its own country. So it is Namibian Independence Day today too. How about that? Fantastic stuff. And also finally today, March 21st, is World Down Syndrome Day. A day to raise awareness of Down syndrome, to amplify the voice of the Down syndrome community, and a day where we are encouraged to wear odd socks, mismatched socks. So if you were doing that today, fantastic. I love it. Great stuff. It's World Down Syndrome Day today as well. Super, super, super. Thank you very much, folks. Have a great day today. Come back and see me, though, tomorrow on your very own Yotto Daily.